many of you have your Bibles ready to hear the Word of God this morning? Got lots of Bibles. Y'all are good students. Heavenly Father, we love your Word. Your Word reminds us of the faithfulness of who you are. That if you said it, it is going to happen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So God, this morning we claim your promises over our lives, over every part of our lives that need a touch from you today, and ask you to speak to us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I started a message series following along with Pastor Rick Warren's book, What on Earth Am I Here For? How many of you are reading the book? Anybody reading the book? I read that book, I guess it came out in 2003 or so, and I read the book back then, and I'm reading it again, and I want you to know it's even more impactful now than it was that long ago, than it was back then. Phenomenal book. I encourage you to read it. What on earth am I here for? Today I want to talk to you about the fact that it's part of your calling. You are called to belong. You're called to be part of something greater than yourself. Week number one of the series, I told you that you were called by God and that your calling was for Him and by Him. It's your calling is ultimately for God. It's not for you to gain something. It's for Him to be glorified on the earth. Week number two, last week, I told you that as part of your calling, the first purpose of your calling was that you would worship Him with your life. Today, we're going to find out that we were created to belong to something greater. And as Christian men and women, we're called to be part of this thing called the body of Christ or the church. You're called to be a part of something greater. We're called to belong. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. We have it on the screen. Oops, it barely fits on the screen. That's what it says. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory, and it was only right that He should make Jesus, through His suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. Because of what Jesus did for us, God made Him the head of His body, the church, and He has made a way for us through Him. We are called to something greater and to be part of something greater. So the second purpose of our lives, besides the first one is worship, the second one is that we're called to be part, or we're formed to be part of God's family. In Ephesians 1:5, the Apostle Paul wrote these words: God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. Once you're in Christ, you are part of the family of God. Say it with me. How many of you remember the Olive Garden commercial, "When you hear your family," right? That's my saying. I think, I'll be honest with you, I think Olive Garden stole that from Jesus. When you hear your family, right? If you're Italian, if you hear your family. If you're part of New Beginnings, your family. God calls His family His church. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Paul writing to Timothy, he said, "Although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of the truth." We're called to belong to His church. In Ephesians 2:19, he said, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of the family of God." And in Romans 1:6, he said, "And you are also among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ." The word church, as used in 1 Timothy, and really all throughout the New Testament, is the Greek word ekklesia. And it means the called out ones. And then another definition is the community of members. Membership within the church is biblical. God created us to belong to Him and to others in this organism called the church. We're called out members of His community. There are some distinct benefits of belonging. Probably all of you that are at least my age or somewhere thereabouts can remember the American Express commercial. Membership has its what? Privileges. Membership within the body of Christ has its privileges too. I want to talk to you about five privileges of belonging to God's family. Five privileges of belonging to His church today. The first one is this. It helps us discover our true identity. And I believe in this world we live in, one of the greatest struggles that people have is an identity crisis. They don't know who they are. So if you don't know who you are, you're always trying to be something you're not. Ephesians 2:19, I just read it to you. Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household, the church, right? Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Hebrews 2:11, He says, both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. Here's your identity. Carla, it was so funny that you began to talk about identity a little while ago and began to call out some of those names of who we are. Listen to ones I wrote down. You're a child of God, accepted in Christ, loved immensely, holy and righteous, I think were some of the words you used, right? Highly favored. I want you to let those words sink in. That's who you are, highly favored, loved immensely. You're a child of God. Did I mention loved beyond measure? And once you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you are part of the family of God. You know what you can never cease to be after that? Part of the family of God. My son Michael's sitting right here in the front row, handsome young man he is. Michael can walk out of this church right now, change his name to Joe whatever, and he can say for the rest of his life, I don't know Eddie Swan. I don't want anything to do with Eddie Swan. But you know what? Michael has something running through his veins that can never deny who he is. It's called DNA. It comes from his daddy. When you're born again, you have something running through your veins that comes from your daddy in heaven. And I can deny it all I want. When you hear your family, right? I want you to know who you're not. You're not the voices in your head telling you all those negative things that they tell you. You're not your past. Much as your past wants to claim ownership, this is who you are. You've been doing this for a long time. Not anymore. You know why? I'm born again. I'm a child of God now. Yeah, I may have done those things even yesterday, but I ain't doing them anymore. You know what? Listen, I want you to see, you're not your past, but you're not your mistakes either. Any mistake makers up in this place, right? Everybody raise your hand. You're not a product of your failures. Listen to me. Failure is an event, not a person. So when failure tries to claim ownership of your life, you just say, hey, you know what? Yeah, I messed up a few times. Got a few failures in my past, but those failures remind me of who I am right now, and I'm not going back. Hopefully you learn from your mistakes. You know that it wasn't until I became an active part of a body of believers, a church, that I learned who I was and what God had created for me to do within this body. I was 35 years old when I came to Christ. 35. You'd have looked at me from the outside, you'd have thought, dude got it going on. Dude had nothing going on. I had a lot of the outward appearances of it going on, but on the inside, I was a disaster. I even faked it pretty good to the people around me. I looked like pretty confident, looked like I had my act together, but I was broken and empty. And it wasn't until I met this man, Jesus, who told me that I've removed every obstacle out of the way so I could get to you. There's nothing in the way. There's nothing you've done. Nothing you've said. There's no sin that's so great that I would stay away. When I realized that this man Jesus loved me that way, I ran to him. I wanted him in my life, and I never wanted to be without him in my life. I began to discover my identity. So often people tell me that they feel like, you know, Pastor, I feel like I'm called to serve. I just don't know where yet. And so I'm just praying about it. You can pray about it all day long. And if God's telling you to serve, he may not give you the instructions as to where. He just wants you to get off the bench, get in the game, find a place of service. Now, I was talking with some folks last night. We were talking, and he said, I don't change dirty diapers. I said, me neither. Not my calling. No offense, little baby. I love babies. I want to hold them until they mess themselves and give them back to their mama. I'm just not changing dirty diapers. That's not my calling. But every one of us has a specific call and role within this thing called the body of Christ. And when you begin to find it, you really discover your true identity. Find some place to plug in. And if that's not the place, we'll move you to some other place. And we'll keep moving you around till you find your place. And when you find your place, every Sunday morning you'll wake up before the alarm goes off. You'll be like, I can't wait to get to church. Got something to do. People need me. You're right, we do need you. Every one of you. Belonging helps me discover who I am. The second benefit to belonging is that I am supported by others. When you're a part of the body, you're supported by others. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 44, right after the day of Pentecost happens, the Holy Spirit falls and Peter gets up and delivers that powerful message that leads 3,000 people to Christ, and the church age begins. And then in verses 42 to 47, Luke begins to describe in Acts the beginnings of the first church, what it looked like. And in verse 44, he said, all the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone as he had need. They took this thing literal. They began to support one another. You know, that's what the church was designed to be and to do, to take care of one another, a community of believers that don't let their friends falter, don't let their friends struggle. We come alongside one another, we take care of one another, we help one another, we support one another. The problem is that church today in our society, in our culture, has become consumerism. We come to church to get stuff. When Kevin and Carla don't sing the songs we like, we go, man, they didn't sing the songs I like today. I'm upset. I may not go back to that church now because they didn't sing my song. I've been telling that girl for 3 weeks to sing my song. She didn't sing my, you know what? I'm just going to go somewhere else where they sing my song. You know, the pastor, he was just off today. You know, he thinks he's funny. He's not even that funny. I know I'm funny. Come on now. My kids don't think I'm funny, but we know I'm funny. You know, that's the problem with consumerism in church, is that, let me just give you a little secret. We don't come to church to get anything. We come to church to bring everything. Here's some of the stuff you ought to bring with you to church. You ought to bring your praise. We are worshiping Jesus, right? King of the universe. We should bring our praise. We should bring our faith. My faith will encourage your faith, Kevin. And your faith will encourage my faith, right? Let's bring our encouragement. You know, maybe somebody in that foyer today just needed you to just hug on them and tell them things are going to be all right. I know you're going through some stuff right now, but I love you. We're going to walk through this together. A little encouragement, right? How about your love? A hug. That's why I hug people. I want you to know I love you. I love you. I like hugging people. Some people are like, he's hugging me. He's hugging me. Don't get all freaked out when I hug you. Just go with it. You know, we need your personality. Bring your personality. As weird as you are, bring it. Bring your spiritual gifts. Every one of you is spiritually gifted by God for His church and His purpose. We need your gifts. We need your talents. You sing, dance, preach. We don't need another preacher, but well, we can use one every now and then, but we need your tithes. We need you. We need you to bring you. And guess what happens? When you bring you, and she brings her, and she brings her, and Joe, when you bring you, and Kendall, when you bring you, and Alexis, when you bring you, and Kevin, when we all bring us, guess what? Everybody gets what they need, and we all walk out mutually encouraged, supported by each other. There are some days I come to church, I don't need anything. I just come to bring it. Most days I don't need anything. I'm in that place with God. I don't need anything, God. I just come to bring my stuff. When I bring my stuff, you get what you need. Some days, there are days when I come needing something. I never leave without getting what I need. Let's be bringers. Let's quit being takers and consumers, and let's just be bringers. Let's be part of the body of Christ, the church. Amen? Amen. Number three, benefit of belonging to the church is I discover my unique value. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you are uniquely valuable. You are. You are uniquely valuable, Stacy. You know that? Romans chapter 12, verse 4 says this, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and all these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many, we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 16, Paul writes these words, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. The scripture reminds us that each of us is vital to the body of Christ. Each of you is vital. Now, we all have different gifts and different talents. And listen, if your gifting and talent is not like Kevin and Carla and Mary to get up here and sing beautifully, well, you know, that's okay. Mine's not. If you heard me sing, you would run out the door. You'd be like, I'm going to a different church because he's terrible. Because you know what? Because that's not my gifting. But maybe your gifting, you say, well, I can't even preach. I'm scared to stand up in front of people and talk. I couldn't do that either. You know what? Then that's not your calling either. But there is a calling and a specific calling for your life, and we need it. You are uniquely valuable. Anybody in here ever compared themselves to somebody else? Just be honest. I call that comparative analysis living. What happens is when you live your life that way, comparing yourselves to others, one of two things happen, only one of two things. The first one is you either feel really good about yourself, so always choose correctly, right? Or you feel really bad about yourself. I shouldn't have compared myself to him, because now I feel really inadequate, right? It's like being around Nick DePasco in the area of being a husband, right? Nick is like the ultimate husband. Nick, I don't even like to hang around with Nick. He makes me look bad. He's always opening the door for Martha. He like rubs her back. He's so sweet. He never loses his temper. I mean, he's like, Nick, you're making me sick, dude. Right? So like, you know what? I quit comparing myself to Nick. I gotta be me, right? Sorry, honey, is what you got. You know what though? Seriously, like I quit comparing myself to other pastors. You know, and other ministers. I mean, there's all these guys on the internet and all these videos and stuff. And if I watch those guys, I get depressed. Like, dude, they're so good. You know what I found out? I'm not them. And they're not me. And you know what? And I'm okay not being them. And I'm sure they're fine not being me. Because it's hard to be me. I'm going to just tell you that. It's really hard to be me. But you know what? I'm okay with not everybody loving and appreciating my unique personality, my sweet demeanor. My wife's like, shut up, right? I want you to know, you're one of a kind. Don't try to be somebody else or like somebody else. We need you, just like you are. And God called you and saved you, and he has a calling and a plan for your life, but it's just for you. Leave your mark. Don't leave my mark. I can't leave yours, and you can't leave mine. Let's just leave our mark on this world. Amen? Number four, when I'm a part of the body, I receive protection. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. You say, well, I know you stopped me right there. You go, wait a minute, there ain't nobody under my care. Do me a favor, point to the minister in the room. Everybody point to the minister in the room. Yes, you are the ministers in the room. Listen to the words again. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Listen, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just in fact as you are doing. Listen, in our culture today, we like to do our own thing until our own thing gets us in trouble. I've had people tell me over the years, you know, I do church at my house because I just don't like organized religion. Well, first and foremost, don't ever call what I do organized religion, because I am the most anti-religious human being on the planet. I am all about relationship, but I am not about religion. I told you last week, religion is man's attempt at God's business. I'm not attempting to do God's business. I'm just a part of God's business. It's his business, not mine, right? And so we don't need to come in and recreate the rules and make new rules. We just do it the way he designed it, and we're following him. Listen, remember, I told you the American Express commercial, membership has its privileges, and part of the privilege is that I am protected in the house of God. I'm protected as part of the flock. When I decide to venture out on my own, you know what I've done? Taken myself out from the protective care of the flock and the shepherd. I want you to know one thing, and I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, this is the heart of the shepherd of New Beginnings Church. I care about you, and I care about the things happening in your life. And when something happens in your life, I'll be there to walk with you through it, no matter how bad it is. And one thing you never have to worry about from me is being ashamed. I don't want to see Pastor Eddie or Pastor Peggy because I'm ashamed. I've done these things. Listen to me. Never. You may have to be ashamed in your family. You may have to be ashamed in your workplace, but you'll never have to be ashamed in this place. You know, together we're much greater together than we are apart. The Bible says that one can put 1,000 people to flight and two, 10,000. We're much better together than we are apart. That's why God created this thing called the church. You're not created to do life on your own. We're protected when we're inside the confines of his body, the church. And number five, last but not least, when I belong to the church, one of the benefits is I become productive. Jesus said these words in John 15, verses 4 and 5. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must also remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. He said, I am the vine and you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. I love that verse. I'm Tony Dutrous right here and Sandy on the front row, they deal in plants. They have a nursery and they have a garden center. Have you ever taken a branch off of one of them trees and thrown it on the ground and it continues to grow? It doesn't do that, right? It dies. Fix me, help me. All right, I'm good. Just want to be sure I'm right. You pull a branch off the tree and you go plant that branch somewhere else in your yard, it's not going to make it. See, the problem is that we try to do things our own way. We try to figure it out ourselves. But when I place my gifts and my talents all under the authority of the house of God, I become productive as a result of that. And Jesus is telling us here that when we try to do things without him, we become unproductive or even counterproductive. But under his leadership, coupled with his power, his presence, there's nothing outside of the realm of possibility for you and I. I don't know about you, but my desire in this life here on earth, is to produce spiritual fruit. Now, I want you to realize that in order for you to produce spiritual fruit, you must have one element that I just mentioned, spirit. See, we can't produce spirit fruit without spirit. And you got to ask, I ask God every day, God, I need to fill me fresh. Because I can't do this day without you. I don't want to do this day without you. I want to be productive for you. Remember, there's a story in the Old Testament. Moses and the children of Israel were out in the desert. And God gets mad at them. And he says, that's it, I'm not going with you anymore. God decides he's going to retract his presence from the children of Israel. And Moses says these words to God. Hey, this is the paraphrase. If you're not going with us, I'm not going. How many of you watched the show, The Shark Tank? Oh, you love that show? I love those guys, right? On Shark Tank, the business guys, when they got somebody trying to produce a new business idea, when they decide they don't want to do business with them, this is where they say these words, I'm out. I want you to know, if God's not in something, my words are always, I'm out. I want no part of it. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul wrote these words. He said, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, bringing glory to God the Father through him. In other words, if you can't put Jesus' name on what you're doing, you probably shouldn't be doing it. That standard, because it says, whatever you do, I think that includes pretty much everything. Whether in words or deeds, the things I say and the things I do. If I can't put the label of Jesus, if I wouldn't say, Jesus, come with me to be a part of this, then you know what? As Christian men and women, we probably should say, you know what? I'm going to pass. I'm out. When we're called to belong, we're called to belong to this thing. We're the called out members of this community called the church. I'll never forget the words of a gentleman I was having breakfast with one day. He said to me, he had a ministry, and his own ministry is named after himself, which is to me is a problem. You have a ministry named after you. And he said, you know, I just don't like the way the church does things and the way the church is operated. I said, well, you know, it's funny. You say that we have an operating budget. And I said, and a certain amount of money goes to missions and a certain amount of money goes to salary and a certain amount of money goes to this and that and the other. And I said, we have a pretty good percentage that's going right here into our community to do ministry. So let me ask you this. Of all the money that comes into your ministry with your name on it, how much of it goes to you personally? He wouldn't answer the question. You know why? Because about probably 99% went to him. Listen, this isn't about us. This is about him. This is about us doing what he's called us to do in this community, reaching this world for Jesus Christ. Here it is, one soul at a time. Would you stand with me? Here are the benefits of belonging, real quick. You learn your true identity. You're supported by others. We discover our unique value. We receive protection, and we become productive. Listen, church membership is biblical and it's valuable. And here at New Beginnings, we decided we would actually kind of change the name. We call it church partnership. You know why? We want you to partner with us to reach this world. We want you to partner with us to reach your neighbor and your coworker and your cousin and your friends. We want to partner together to do what God has called us to do. Listen, we partner together to do this, reach one soul at a time under one vision, one purpose, one body joined together as His church, doing what He's called us to do. Now, you say, hey, listen, Pastor Eddie, I'm all about what you're talking about right now. And I want to be a part of this bigger thing called the church. And I want to help this church do what God's called it to do, to reach this world one soul at a time, starting right here in West St. Tammany. If that's you, I want you to come and join me here at the altar. I want to pray for you, and then I'm going to let you go home. Man, if one could put 1,000 in flight and 2 10,000, we got people running for the hills right now. Imagine what we can do together. Golly, this is awesome. We're about to do something in Covington, in Mandeville, and surrounding areas. I don't know, man. I just think it's something special. And I think that these are the people. Your unique sets of values and the way God's called you and designed you specifically to be a part of something greater. Let's pray. Father, we accept with joy the calling to be a part of the body. God, I'm thankful that you've called us to belong to something greater. God, there's a big world out there, a big world of lost people dying and going to hell, and I don't want to see that in my life, and I know these folks feel the same way. That's why we stand here together in unity, in one accord today, God, to do what you've called us to do. Now, God, as we go prepared and equipped with your Spirit in us, I pray, God, that we'll begin to see things that we've never seen, experience things we've never experienced before, only because we trusted in you first. We praise you and give you all thanks today for what you're doing in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.